Tired of not being able to get a hold of anyone when you have questions about your credit card? With 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yes, you heard that right. You can talk to a human on the Discover customer service team anytime. So the next time you have a question about your credit card, call 1-800-DISCOVER to get the service you deserve. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casuals and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
I'm going out with the girls this weekend. Nails done. Outfit stunner. And my skin? I know it's going to be glowing because I glammed up my shower routine with new Olay Indulgent Moisture Body Wash. It smells so luxurious and deeply moisturizes with its super rich, creamy lather that's bursting with vitamin B3 complex. So my skin glows and my confidence grows. Try new Olay Indulgent Moisture Body Wash for glowing skin in just 14 days.
Ridiculous History is a production of iHeartRadio.
Welcome back to the show, Ridiculous Historians. Thank you, as always, so much for tuning in. Let's give it up for our super producer, Mr. Max Williams.
That's Max White Suit Williams.
Oh, my God. Ben, we got to just tell the fine folks
sure.
at home.
Yeah.
I'm remote. You guys are in the same building. I feel a very
not in the
serious
same room.
Sense of
no
FOMO.
No one's in the same room.
And it's, well, exactly. That's right. That's true, but you guys are in the same physical, larger space. And you said, you got to see this thing that Max has got going on. I'm like, is it going to be underwhelming? Because if it's underwhelming, I'm going to be mad. And boy, howdy, he blasted into the room, just blazing in this suit, this white, shining suit. I had to squint, you know, and my computer screen almost overtook my whole field of vision. Mm-hmm. It's a mm-hmm. real a thing to behold. Man, you've been talking about it on the podcast for months now.
Well, see, I've been waiting to wear it. And there was some reason, like last time we recorded, I was like, I had to go do something afterwards. I'm like, okay, wearing a full white suit is not a good idea right now. But I'm also wearing a green tie and a red shirt, because it is a holiday company party going on right now that neither Ben nor myself nor Noel are at.
And being red-green colorblind as I am, I didn't know that until you told me.
Oh, wow.
It's
a
day of surprises for us. I'll wear my white suit next time, Max, in solidarity. I'm Ben Bolin, you're Noel Brown, and sure. We have a very special week ahead. I can't remember if I mentioned it on air before, but I was very, very lucky to meet a literary hero of mine quite recently on the podcast, The Puzzler.
Not to be confused with The Quizster. It's a little different.
Not to be confused with The Quizster.
Equally diabolical, but more gently diabolical, let's just say.
We are expanding the ridiculous universe today, because, folks, we are over the moon to welcome a special guest this week, the journalist, author, lecturer, a prolific writer of amazing books like The Know-It-All and The Year of Living Biblically, a personal favorite of mine. Ridiculous Historians, please join us in welcoming Mr. A.J. Jacobs.
Well, are you kidding? This is an honor. You are my podcast heroes. So right back at you. And we loved having Ben on the show. And Noel, we are going to recruit you. You are going to be in the hot seat soon.
I'm so here for it. AJ, I was aware of you, obviously, from various appearances on NPR and, you know, talking about your incredible work and research. But you were one of the first guests of another podcast that I worked on for a while, Movie Crush.
I love that move.
I wasn't on those episodes. I was on the mini crush episodes where Chuck and I would just kind of post-mortem some of the interviews. But you were one of the very first guests of that show, and I engineered that. I don't think we actually spoke, but that was – what was your movie again, by the way?
It was A Clockwork Orange.
Oh, there you go.
I wanted to do a Groundhog's Day, but someone else had taken it. And A Clockwork Orange, I had mixed feelings about it because I loved it when I was a high schooler, and now I look at it as a father, an old man, and
You know what, though? It would have been pretty, pretty meta and epic if you went on and did Groundhog Day and people just came on, like on every 6 months, someone did Groundhog
Brilliant
Day.
Idea.
Well, you know, it's funny. I think I maybe was just having like a brain fart, but I heard you as saying a Groundhog's Day, as though it were there's A Clockwork Orange and a Groundhog's Day. What if we did a mashup of those two?
Ooh.
What would that be like? Charlie Kaufman, eat your heart out.
Like that. Yes.
A Clockwork Groundhog. You know, that's
very good. We'll keep workshopping it, but equally excited to be here. Can't wait to be in said hot seat. And I think today, you know, we talked about what we might, you know, discuss, and you just had so many possibilities that you sent our way. And we ended up going with sort of a general topic area that actually ends up being quite apropos of some of the recent episodes that we've done.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Let's do it this way. AJ, so tell us about the puzzler, because we've been throwing this around, right? We've been throwing the phrase around. We talked about the podcast, but what is the puzzler and how does it inform what you're going to teach Noel and Max and I today?
Well, the puzzler right now is an iHeart podcast, and it's a daily, it's short. We have a celebrity guest on and we do a fun little word game with them and the audience can listen along. And Ben was a recent guest and we always try to tailor it. So we had a ridiculous history theme puzzle was one for Ben. So it was sort of ridiculously misunderstood history. So if it was a guy who had heard of historical events but hadn't listened to this podcast, so he would say like, this event, I think it's about a croissant, a beret, and a glass of red wine going around in a circle. And, oh, thank you. And then the answer, which Ben got, was, oh, that's the French Revolution. So it's always yes, he did very well. Ben was a superstar.
Saying that because we're here, Noel.
Well, we give no money, so I have to be nice with the praise, because otherwise, who would want to come?
Yeah. Better than money. You know, it's funny, though, like in this age of Wordle and all the Wordle-adjacent things that honestly, there's so many of them now that make my head spin. Ben and I recently discussed this really anachronistic one that involves guessing like gross domestic product of various countries. What's that one called? Exportal or something?
Tradle.
It's Tradle.
Tradle, and it's from the OECD. And it's, I think there's something tricky about Tradle. This is what makes it an interesting puzzle. There's something tricky about it because all of the, like you said, Noel, you have to guess the exports, guess a country based on exports and imports. However, what the OECD classifies as a country is kind of like the aspirational list of what investors wish was a country. Mm-hmm. Like the British Virgin Islands, not a country. Sorry, guys.
All this to say, Ben, that's one that I immediately, when it was revealed to me or shown to me, I was like, this is so not my wheelhouse and I wouldn't even know where to start. But Ben will be ace at this, and sure enough, you were. So I just have to ask, AJ, when I'm on the show, please no export-based puzzles.
That ruins our exports. Whole plan.
Noel knows so much about music. Though.
I do know a lot about music, but not so much about countries and their various imports and exports. So again, you know, in this era where puzzles have really become this, you know, craze in and of themselves, I mean, it's like a very old craze, but it's sort of back in vogue with all these New York Times apps and such, ways of passing the time on the train. We thought it might be fun, or really you thought it might be fun, to talk about some of the history of puzzle crazes, you know, throughout time.
Exactly. And I love these puzzle crazes because there have been Wordles from the 18th century, 19th century, and it is like a tulip mania. People just get obsessed. And I also love the element where there's always a moral panic. There's always preachers saying, oh, the parents are ignoring their kids and doing jigsaw puzzles and civilization has collapsed.
Is ruining homes.
Exactly. Seriously, the New York Times covered crossword puzzles like like the crack epidemic in the 80s.
Are you serious?
Yeah, they were like, this is a, you know, it's causing prison riots. Parents are, husbands are murdering their wives over crossword arguments. There was Olympic stars were not training because they were distracted by crossword puzzles. This was in the 20s and 30s. And yeah, it was just hilarious to read.
New York Times did eventually come around to crossword puzzles.
Exactly.
I hear.
They did. Yes, they did decide to buckle to. Maybe that's a good segue. Let's start. Mm. That was one of the crazes I wanted to talk about was the crossword craze of the teens and 20s.
I'm going out with the girls this weekend. Nails done. Outfit stunner. And my skin? I know it's going to be glowing because I glammed up my shower routine with new Olay Indulgent Moisture Body Wash. It smells so luxurious and deeply moisturizes with its super rich, creamy lather that's bursting with vitamin B3 complex. So my skin glows and my confidence grows. Try new Olay Indulgent Moisture Body Wash for glowing skin in just 14 days.
This episode is brought to you by eBay Motors. eBay Motors is here for the ride. Noel, do you remember your favorite car?
Well, yeah. It was an Eddie Bauer edition Ford Explorer.
Oh, that's
and
cool.
I just remember it was my dad's. I was a hand-me-down car kind of kid. Dad would buy a new car. I'd get that car. And I just remember feeling so awesome being up above everybody. Like I was in Mad Max or something, you know?
I had a lot of land yachts that I loved. I had Pontiac Bonnevilles.
Right.
Oh, I never had an El Camino. My dad had one. And that was a real interesting use of our collective time, keeping that thing running. But I think these cars all kind of speak to us because they were such a fundamental part of our lives. Do you remember when I had that Monte Carlo?
That's what I meant. I said El Camino and I meant Monte Carlo.
I miss it. So the Monte Carlo was tough. I had a series of Monte Carlos and the last one, God bless it. I had to learn a lot about car maintenance just to keep that guy running.
Totally.
But it still was like a perfect fit. It's almost like finding your true love. You know, like when you recently got a car a few years back now.
Oh, man. And funny you should say that. That particular perfect fit was the Honda Fit, which I love dearly. But, Ben, it's getting a little long in the tooth. And while it's been incredibly reliable up to now, it's getting to that age where I might have to start looking for some parts here and there to keep it running.
Mm-hmm. And that's where eBay Motors comes in. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly.
Brake kits, LED headlights, roof racks, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it.
And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back.
Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash.
So keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com.
Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
This episode of Ridiculous History is brought to you by Mint Mobile.
You know, Ben, I got to say, one of the best parts about spring cleaning is that post-clean clarity you get where you're like, man, how have I been living like this? What's wrong with me?
You're right, Noel. It's kind of like when you find out you've been paying a fortune for wireless when Mint Mobile has phone plans for $15 a month when you purchase a 3-month plan.
It's time to switch to Mint Mobile and get unlimited talk, text, and data for $15 a month.
To get this new customer offer and your new 3-month unlimited wireless plan for just $15 a month, go to mintmobile.com/ridiculous.
That's mintmobile.com/ridiculous. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/ridiculous.
$45 upfront payment required, equivalent to $15 a month. New customers on first 3-month plan only.
Speed slower above 40 gigabytes on unlimited plan. Additional taxes, fees, and restrictions apply.
See Mint Mobile for details.
The first crossword appeared in 1913 in the New York World newspaper.
Wait, and the first one in the world?
The first one ever.
Wow.
I know. I thought it would be older, but
I thought it would be older too. That's crazy.
And it was actually called Word Cross at the time, and then they changed it later because of a typographical error. So sometimes mistakes are good. I always tell my kids. And I will say it was the first, but it also kind of sucked. It was not a good crossword puzzle. It was the clues were all really obscure. Like the fiber of the gomuti palm was 10 down. Okay. A three-letter word. And, okay. You got it?
No, I couldn't possibly. Ben, I wouldn't even hazard a guess. Ben, how about you?
Well, I'll give you the way they would do it now is much better, which is Homer Simpson outburst, three letters.
Oh, yeah. There it is. Yeah,
well, I was just going to ask, and not to interrupt, but did the original word crosses or crosswords or whatever come from the kind of rudimentary sort of acrostic poem form at all? Was there any connection to that?
Yes, there were sort of these proto crosswords. So it didn't come out of nowhere. The inventor is this guy, a British bloke named Arthur Wynne. And he says that he was inspired by things like the magic squares, which I don't know if you've ever seen, but have numbers or letters that you read crosswords and down. It has the same words down. So he had some inspiration, but this was considered the first actual one. And despite it kind of being lame, it really became this mania. And every newspaper started printing them, except for the New York Times, as we said. And there was a Broadway musical about crosswords. There was a hit song. Noel, I know you're a musician, so I'm sure you know this great work. The Crossword Mama, You Puzzle Me, But Papa's Gonna Figure You Out.
Oh, geez.
Love it.
Wow,
love
I really
it.
Got there.
Beautiful song.
I'm wondering, though, because New York Times has obviously got a reputation as being like one of the more difficult crosswords. It's kind of a more illustrious crossword. Like if you do it in pen, then you're a real, smart person. But do you think they held out because they thought it was beneath them? And then they finally decided, you know what? If we're going to get in on this crossword game, we're going to be the best on the block.
They looked askance at it, right? Like in the beginning, because they were kind of the highfalutin sort of paper of note for the fair metropolis. And so maybe crosswords for a time were considered sort of like tabloid-esque or sort of lower class.
Absolutely. That's exactly what they were. It was frivolous. It was nothing. They didn't print comics and they still don't. New York World was sort of this tabloidy newspaper. The phrase yellow journalism comes from it because they had a comic strip called The Yellow Kid. They finally buckled. It took a world war for the New York Times to buckle. It was World War II. A week and a half after Pearl Harbor, there's an internal memo that says, you know what? People need a little distraction. There might be blackouts, was what he said. So that is when you said, Noel, they said, you know what? We're just going to be the best at what we do. And so they did. And they hired this woman who was really good at, she's sort of reformed. She's a legend in the crossword community, Margaret Petheridge Farrar. And she, a great name. And she made them symmetrical. She got rid of the mistakes, the two-letter words. So it did become the market leader, and it still is.
Oh, yeah. And then there's a craft to it. There's a flow and like a sort of an aesthetic to a good crossword that is in and of itself something to kind of enjoy, right?
That leads to one of my questions is this person the one who sort of codified the coded language of crossword clues? Like everybody knows these certain tricks. If something is abbreviated in the clue, then the answer is going to be abbreviated. You know what I'm talking about?
Oh, yeah, I do. She did a little of that. What's interesting, though, is those first crossword puzzles were very trivia oriented. So they weren't clever. Like to me, a good crossword puzzle now is it's all about wordplay and anagrams. That's the kind I like. And Will Shortz introduced, he's the current New York Times editor, and he introduced a lot of that. His favorite clue, if you ask him of all time, it seems good to me. I wouldn't say it's my favorite, but it was, it turns into another story was the clue. And it's a two-word phrase, a long phrase, spiral staircase. So it turns into another story. Pretty good.
Oh, my God.
Pretty good. Yeah. There's
too
some
good.
Levels.
Too there smart for two, its own good.
There are two levels
too
to it.
Yeah. Two levels. Nicely done.
Thank you, sir.
But yes, so that only came out later. And actually, it's the British who really were into the wordplay and Americans. They looked down on Americans. They were like, those crosswords are too easy.
And so now the crossword has become a normalized thing. Here in Atlanta, for a long time, there was a paper called Creative Loafing, and it was the Goldilocks zone of crosswords. Yeah, if People magazine is too easy and the infamous Sunday New York Times is too difficult, then you could get together at, it used to come out on Thursdays here. So we would go to our local chicken wing place and hang out for an hour after work while we tried to, while we would do the crossword. And usually between like two or three of us, we could figure it out pretty easily.
A bit of a brain trust. Yeah, no, but Ben, you were usually taking the lead on this. This is really more your thing. We were just kind of there for support. But you mentioned Will Shorts as well. And there's, I just wanted to mention it for anyone that wants to find out more about the craze. I haven't seen this myself, but I know it's supposed to be good wordplay. It's a documentary that sort of talks specifically about a bit of the history and just specifically about his tenure as the crossword puzzle editor for the New York Times.
And can I just throw in one quick one about the easy and hard? Because a few years ago, the reason I started this book and podcast was a few years ago, I was the answer to a clue in the New York Times crossword puzzle.
Oh, wow.
And as a word nerd, I was like, this is the best day of my life. Like, better than—
Did you frame
than,
it? Do you have it?
Of course. Oh, are you kidding? But here's the twist. The twist is my brother-in-law, then I was on cloud nine, but my brother-in-law sent me a very brother-in-law email the next day. He's like, congrats, but you should know you were in the Saturday puzzle. And the Saturday is the hardest puzzle.
The
answers are totally obscure, like the palm of the Gomoti tree.
I see.
And so his point was—
The implication being that you're a deep cut.
I am the deepest cut. I am so obscure. No one knows who I am. This is not a compliment.
I
think you should leave partially completed versions of the crossword around for your kids and let them discover it for themselves.
One that they would get would be me. Yeah.
What a brother-in-law thing to do, though. Just send an email about this, first of all. Yeah. And the most backhanded of compliments. That is, I hope he's okay.
I want to shout out one of the many books that you have written, AJ, and one that informs your expertise in our conversation. Before we move to the next puzzle, you are the author of not just the podcast, but the book, The Puzzler, One Man's Quest to Solve the Most Baffling Puzzles Ever, from crosswords to jigsaws to the meaning of life.
That's it. A very humble title.
And I have one tiny thing to add more posit here before we move on. How come there hasn't been a movie about a crossword puzzle related serial killer? Leave it with you. I leave it with the group.
Has there not?
If there isn't, there should be.
I haven't seen it,
I want to find out what it is.
I must be thinking of like a miniseries. Okay, yes, that's a good call, Noel. We'll have to look into that. But unless AJ makes the film before we get to it, we have another puzzle that I don't know about you guys, Max and Noel, but this was brand new to me. I have never heard of the masquerade craze.
I'm going out with the girls this weekend. Nails done, outfit stunner, and my skin? I know it's going to be glowing because I glammed up my shower routine with new Olay Indulgent Moisture Body Wash. It smells so luxurious and deeply moisturizes with its super rich, creamy lather that's bursting with vitamin B3 complex. So my skin glows and my confidence grows. Try new Olay Indulgent Moisture Body Wash for glowing skin in just 14 days.
This episode is brought to you by eBay Motors. eBay Motors is here for the ride. Noel, do you remember your favorite car?
Well, yeah. It was an Eddie Bauer edition Ford Explorer.
Oh, that's
and
cool.
I just remember it was my dad's. I was a hand-me-down car kind of kid. Dad would buy a new car. I'd get that car. And I just remember feeling so awesome being up above everybody, like I was in Mad Max or something.
I had a lot of land yachts that I loved. I had Pontiac Bonnevilles.
Right?
Oh, I never had an El Camino. My dad had one, and that was a real interesting use of our collective time, keeping that thing running. But I think these cars all kind of speak to us because they were such a fundamental part of our lives. Do you remember when I had that Monte Carlo?
That's what I meant. I said El Camino, and I meant Monte Carlo.
I miss it so. The Monte Carlo was tough. I had a series of Monte Carlos, and the last one, God bless it, I had to learn a lot about car maintenance just to keep that guy running.
Totally.
But it still was like a perfect fit. It's almost like finding your true love. You know, like when you recently got a car a few years back now.
Oh, man. And funny you should say that. That particular perfect fit was the Honda Fit, which I love dearly. But, Ben, it's getting a little long in the tooth. And while it's been incredibly reliable up to now, it's getting to that age where I might have to start looking for some parts here and there to keep it running.
Mm-hmm. And that's where eBay Motors comes in. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly.
Brake kits, LED headlights, roof racks, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it.
And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back.
Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash.
So keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com.
Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire. With the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snagajob is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position. Warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snagajob's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text SNAG to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
Yeah, this one I had heard of because I actually got caught up in it a little because I'm older than you guys. So I was this was published. It was a book. It was a book published in 1979 in the UK, and it was called Masquerade. And the artist, it was an illustrated book, and there was gorgeous illustrations, and they contained clues to a buried treasure.
Oh, wow.
In the UK, it was a rabbit, a gold and gem encrusted rabbit buried somewhere in England. And people went bananas. Like there were thousands of treasure hunters and they dug up yards and gardens. They just created chaos. The artist, Kit Williams, he received death threats and in the middle of the night, 3 a.m. visits from people covered in mud. People were arrested.
Oh my
they
gosh.
Had to be rescued from cliffs. And so it was just a mania. And I never went to England, but I spent, you know, hours looking at these illustrations for clues, which, of course, I never cracked.
The golden hair.
The golden
hair.
This is
absolutely new to me. And I mean, honestly, mm-hmm. even the concept seems very novel. Because at first I was going to ask, like, were people just taking it too seriously? But no, there was a thing. There was an object of whatever this narrative
right.
was.
And it was, you know, it was insured for a couple $100,000. So it was a real thing. And actually, it spawned all of these other, it's a genre called armchair treasure hunts.
Oh, like that guy in the U.S., right?
Well, there's The Secret was a famous one where there are 12 treasures buried throughout North America, and only three of them have been found. So people are still obsessed on, like, you go on these websites, and people are, man, like, they are, they've got all these theories, they've got all these, and they get very angry at the other one for having a different theory. the Masquerade, just to close that loop, that one was solved 3 years later. It was buried in beneath the statue of Catherine of Aragon, of the Queen, and in a town called Bedford. And it was buried underneath the tip of a shadow cast at noon on the equinox.
Oh my gosh, that's just so.
This is like some Gandalf so riddle tweet. Type stuff.
Exactly.
Wasn't there a bit of a scandal, though, that maybe there were some accusations of cheating?
Yes, and not just accusation. It was the guy who solved it did cheat. He got inside information from the ex-girlfriend of the artist, and the artist was super bummed out. The official winners were these two physics teachers who actually solved it for real, but they didn't get the rabbit. The cheater got the rabbit. So, but yes, it was despite the scandal at the end, enormously influential. You might have also, I don't think you've done an episode on Forrest Fenn. That's a famous treasure hunt.
Nope. That's what I was thinking about. Yeah. And that also with the armchair treasure hunt, AJ, what I find fascinating about these is that this led to conspiracy theorists,
of course.
Right? Like in the Forrest Fenn case and the secret case and in the golden hair case, weren't there some people who were like, there's something up with this official story.
Yeah, there's more going
exactly.
on.
That was, I mean, this is a hint into the human mind, because people, even years after it had been found, they were like, no, my theory is correct. It really is here. It's really under the Tower of London, or, that people just get so attached to their theory that they just cannot switch gears.
Open your eyes, sheeple. The hair is still out there.
It's still out there. Go dig up some yards in England. But luckily no one died during the masquerade hunt, but Forrest Fenn, this was a treasure buried in the Rockies in I think it was 2010 about, and he had a book with clues to it, and five people died while searching for that treasure.
So would you argue that maybe there's, you got to be really careful with this kind of stuff?
No, just go ahead and
just go nuts. You know what I mean?
Just jump off cliffs.
At what point does it become intriguing enough to spawn that kind of devotion and obsession? Like, not anybody has the chops to pull something like this off, because it requires enough notoriety, A. B, it has to be cleverly constructed to have enough people that aren't just able to solve it instantly. Like, are there any elements that you see and stuff like this? Because I'd really never heard of this, and now I want to find out more. But what makes a good one of these sort of real world mystery kind of treasure hunt things?
Well, Fenn had a poem. I loved the poem, right? And I guess the idea is that you can play along at home, right? You get pieces, and there's this maddening thing about the human need for pattern recognition, right? That's my armchair guess, because I was obsessed with the Fenn situation for a while, and I was kind of sad when it was found.
Did you go out and look for it?
I did not go out and look for it, but my friends, I spent probably a little too much time on those forums. I was thinking, I'm never going to find it, but I want to learn about it, and I would literally make popcorn and then go online and read various like subreddits. So right? I came in very late in the game. This was like 2015, 2016.
Well, and I guess my question can really apply to any of these crazes, or like, what makes something, of enough interest that enough people are going to be involved, but difficult enough that people aren't going to be able to solve it, that injects a certain amount of competition, a certain amount of kind of, sportsmanship, and like it creates sort of a community, whether it be crossword puzzles, these real life treasure hunts, or, other types of puzzles that we're going to get into. Do you have any thoughts about like what makes these things kind of catch the public imagination?
Yeah, I think there are a couple of factors. One is just luck. It's like tulip mania. Something just blows up. It reaches a tipping point. Another is a lot of these manias seem to happen during, like, the jigsaw puzzle mania was during the Depression. Wordle was during the pandemic. So there's a little of that going
on. So is QAnon, by the way. it's own kind of weird puzzle.
Yes, that is a puzzle with no real answer.
Exactly.
That is, but it's the same. That's another cause is, like you said, we are wired to look for patterns, whether or not they exist. Mm-hmm. So this is a very deep, the first puzzle, of course, was, who do I mate with? How do I eat? So it's all of the same. And so we have a very deep need for this, and puzzles just satisfy that aha instinct that we that we are wired to look for. And I love them. I mean, I think they have a dark side. Like you say, QAnon is kind of a big puzzle.
Sure.
But on the other hand, I think that they are wonderful. They're like a way to train your mind. And here's a little thought. I tried a little wisdom for my kids. Quincy Jones has a saying. He says, "I don't have problems. I have puzzles in my life."
1,000,000%.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Yeah, he reframes life as a series of puzzles, which is much more pleasant.
Like, but also as a record producer, you know, as a music producer, when you're in the studio with an artist, it's a series of problems that you're trying to solve creatively, you know? So, I mean, I think that's what he's referring to in a lot of ways too, is how do I figure out how to get these pieces to fit together, get these elements to work together harmoniously? Because like, you know, as a sort of fair weather armchair music producer myself, that is part of the fun, is figuring out how to get these elements to kind of play nice together.
And I want to go back to the point you raised about jigsaw puzzles, AJ, because there is one guy that you spoke to pretty recently who might be one of the few people who likes jigsaw puzzles more than you. I'm thinking about Roy Wood Jr.
Oh, yes. Yeah. He's a huge fan. And he's a great comedian, but he does jigsaws and he glues them together. And puts them on his wall, which I think some people do. When I went into this book, I was actually not a huge big jigsaw fan. I have converted. I converted so much that for the book, I competed with my family as Team USA in the World Jigsaw Puzzle Championships.
Whoa.
And we sucked so hard.
It's a very specific skill set.
I heard you talk about this on public radio not too long ago.
We came in second to last. We were just an embarrassment to our country. And there were Hungary was ahead of us, Turkey, you name it. The Russians won so fast. There were rumors of, performance enhancing, some juicing.
Juicy the puzzle.
Hi, Max, jumping in here. What does juicing in jigsaw puzzle
jigsaw
look like?
Juicing. Let's call it jigsaw juicing.
Jigsaw juicing. Sorry about the siren.
It's
should
okay.
I wait? I'm guessing it, it was Adderall. They did recommend Advil because the way it's set up is you've 8 hours straight. You've got four people on a team and you have four big puzzles of like 2,000 pieces each. So you are standing over with your back hunched for 8 hours. So Advil is recommended and allowed. I don't know. I'm sure there's Adderall and other.
Adderall and Advil is like a jigsaw speedball, is what that is in the community.
I would want something that relaxes you a little bit because I feel like there would be a lot of pressure. And I remember this story about your experience when I heard it, because you had been training, right? And you guys were feeling pretty good about it. And there's certain strategies that I think, as you said, because when I was hearing this, it was a look into the mind of the everyman learning to master jigsaws. And I was thinking, you get the quarter pieces, right? You get the edges, you go like that. And apparently that is a rookie move or something like that.
It is sometimes acceptable, but it depends on the puzzle. If it's a very colorful puzzle, then some of the pros go by sorting by color first and then do the edges. I mean, it is hilarious the amount of strategy that goes into this. And they division of labor. So they have an expert on the team, the Russian team, who's like really good at monochromatic. Like if there's a blue sky, she will sort them all into different shapes so that it all fits together. But, I find that with everything, whatever it is, even if it's a seemingly trivial thing, like if you are at the top, the Michael Jordans and LeBron Jameses of anything, it's just fascinating to watch.
But it's not using the same, I'm imagining, it's not using the same parts of your brain that sorting out word puzzles are. Can you talk a little bit about it's obviously pattern recognition and data mining / sorting, but does it operate on the same, does your brain require the same types of smarts as it does to do word puzzles, or is it completely different?
I would say that there are some similarities between all puzzles, but you're right. This is much more spatial. I am terrible at spatial. Like it takes me five. I did not solve a Rubik's Cube for 52 years. Like because I solved it when I was 52, but all of them require things like being able to think outside the box, which I can say because that cliche comes from puzzles.
It sure does.
It was the nine dots puzzle, and you have to connect them with four pencil straight lines, and you have to go outside the box. So all
Spoiler, guys.
Oh, yeah. Sorry about that.
Sorry for spoiling that ancient puzzle. Oof, no. Speaking of puzzles, we have run into a puzzle situation, my friend. I think this is a two-parter, huh?
Oh, man, it's time to pick up the pieces and try our hand at putting together a second I don't know. I'm not doing very well with my puzzle metaphors here. I apologize. But yes, indeed. AJ was such a delight, and we kind of had a feeling this might happen. We did have two complete topics on the docket with him, and we realized that just one of them was going to be a two-parter. So look for the next one sometime in the new year, and it's a doozy as well.
Agreed. And big, big thanks to the legendary AJ Jacobs for classing up our show. Big thanks to our super producer, Mr. Max Williams, and additional thanks to our guest super producer, Paul Mission Control Deckant. Whoop, whoop.
Alex Williams, who composed this banging theme you hear before your very ears. Christopher Asiotis and Eves Jeffcoats here in spirit. And Ben, last but not least, first in my heart, sir, the missing jigsaw puzzle piece to my very soul, you, sir.
You're the Waldo to my wares.
Hey, we'll see you next time, folks. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
The following is a high five moment from highfivecasino.com.
Welcome to Burger Yippee. Would you like a hot apple pie today?
Yes, yes, yeah, I won! Woohoo!
So that's a yes on the apple pie?
I just went big time playing High Five Casino on my phone. Real cash prizes, free daily rewards, over 1,200 games. Woo!
So yes or no on the apple pie?
Woo! I won again!
I'll take that as a yes. Drive around.
Have you had your high five moment today? Only at highfivecasino.com.
High Five Casino is a social casino. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Conditions apply. See website for details.
High Five Casino.
Happy Pride from Tomboy X, celebrating Pride and the queer community all year. Queer founded, queer run, and the makers of the original boxer briefs for women, creating sustainable size and gender inclusive underwear, swimwear, and loungewear for all bodies so you feel comfortable in your own skin. Tomboy X just dropped their Pride 24 collection, obsessively fit tested for all day comfort in sizes 3 extra small through 6X. Visit tomboyx.com.
Top Thrill 2 is like no other course. Two 420-foot vertical speedways, three launches.
All right, let's talk strategy.
Copy that, driver. Go for maximum acceleration off the start.
Roger that.
You've got a short straightaway to push from 0 to 74 on the first vertical speedway.
And what about the rollback?
Rollback will set you up for an explosive reverse climb 420 feet in the sky so you reach 0 Gs in total weightlessness.
420 feet of straight-up speed. Let's get it.
Top Thrill 2, the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch strata coaster. Get your tickets at cedarpoint.com.